Hello, beautiful people.
We missed you guys.
We miss you every single week.
Yeah, even believe though it or it's not. Only been 6 days. I mean, it feels really, really bad, you know? Then we get here and I'm like, fuck yeah.
We get another episode. Hell yeah. Yes. Before we get into today's episode, please, if you are not following us on Instagram, Smoking With Pod is where to find us. If you want to support us further and check out our extra additional content, that's over on Patreon, patreon.com/smokingwith. $5 a month will get you some free seeds, as long as you're in the US or Canada, and then all the additional content and some stickers and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, more swag coming too, so that'll be exciting.
Absolutely. And last but not least, if you are in the market for some new lights or a rosin press or some trim trays, we have code SMOKE on Photon Tech, code SMOKE on Medic Grow, and code SMOKE PRESS on Magobe, and that works on Amazon for Magobe as well.
Wow.
And then, exactly, it's great. And Smoke Trim, if you're looking for some like trim trays, that's also 10% off on all those things. And that's in the description down there if you want to check out that. And you're looking for any of those things, save yourself some money. Today's episode, very, very special guest. So glad to have you here. This is the owner, CEO?
CEO and founder.
CEO and founder of Visionary Hydroponics, the creator of the Hydro Bucket, Mitchell Gorgachuk?
Gorgachuk.
Right?
Yeah, Gorgachuk. That is it. Nailed it.
Hell yeah.
Welcome, dude. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
no, it's an honor to get to sit and hang out with you guys.
No, it's going to be a great time, man. We're just going to like have a good time. And, as the name states, we're just going to be smoking with you and just having a good old time. But to roll into this, man, first and foremost, do you grow yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. All the content that you see on IG, I manage that, and that's kind of real time my garden. So whatever is getting posted, I could go out and show you a real time picture of it. So yeah, I've been growing for about 7 years. I guess this would be I could intro is that, yeah, I started growing at home a few years before cannabis was legalized here in Canada, and just with vegetables and tomatoes and getting prepared to become a grower. And then I transitioned into cannabis when it became legal, and I've been growing ever since.
Yeah. Awesome. Heck yeah.
So have a little echo there, but that's okay. So you said you were prepping to go into cannabis. So have you always been interested in growing cannabis? Did I catch that right? You said you were growing vegetables and stuff like that to try and get some grower knowledge under your hat. Has that always been like a vision for you, growing cannabis?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always been had a relationship with cannabis. I didn't really understand it until most recently, but I've always fascinated about growing it and just having it in my life in a legal way. And it was once it was announced that it was going to be legal, I just thought, I don't want to waste time learning how to grow cannabis. I want to know how. So on the day it's legal, I'm just going to start growing. So I bought the Grow Bible. I read it multiple times, and I landed on deep water culture. And I thought, okay, this sounds like it's going to work the best for me in my house, in my basement. I liked how it would be clean and all the benefits of it. And yeah, then I started growing everything I could, the herbs, lettuce, tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, and it was really quite easy, except for the problems that were presented with, the style of deep water culture that happened. So
I was going to say, what was your first kind of setup like? Like so when you started growing the veggies, what did you go out and get? Like how? Yeah.
Yeah, my first setup, I mean, it was similar to what's available on the market right now. It was DIY stuff. I went and I got net pots and Hydroton for the support of the seed and the plant. And then I bought 5 gallon pails, and I drilled the holes and I put the site tube on it and did the whole thing. And I also bought Tupperware tubs. and drilled a whole bunch of tops on that. So I have, you know, large deep water culture tubs for my herbs and stuff.
Awesome.
Right on. And so, like, I assume the birth of your product, the Hydro Bucket, was out of, I don't know, you just saw, I'm sure, a lot of drawbacks with these methods of having to drill all these holes and do it in a 5-gallon bucket. And I've done that. That was the very first, you know, method that I grew was DWC. I just jumped right into it, kind of similar to you, I think. And, there is some trickiness to it with feeding the hoses in through and, you know, I assume that was the birth of the Hydro Bucket, right?
Absolutely. It was a progression. I was growing in deep water culture, and what I found was I was in this growing method that was fantastic. I mean, my results were fantastic. It was a jungle in my closet. And also the function of just transferring fluid back and forth. I loved it. It was very clean and checked all my boxes, except for the fact that every time I wanted to change fluid or inspect the roots or do anything, I had to lift this plant. And we're talking about tomatoes, cucumbers, and peppers, which is, you know, similar to a heavy yielding cannabis plant. You can't manage that yield, that crop, without some significant support. And supporting that to the lid and everything, I mean, it was a bit of a, I could see the drawbacks, obviously, in that. So what happened was I transitioned into a recirculating system. And I thought, okay, here we go. So I got 4 buckets. I have an external reservoir. And now I don't have to lift my plants anymore. So now I can get into, now at this point I was growing cannabis, and I'm like, now I can scrog, now I can get these better yields and put in some better techniques than just growing a single plant. And then that's where the idea came to me. I just thought, well, we're still just adapting pails, buckets, regular mm-hmm. buckets. Surely there could be some sort of access that we could have on the market here. And then that's when I created the Hydro Bucket, which then I've never gone back to recirculating since.
Wow.
Heck yeah. Cool. And that was one of the things, like, when, and Josh and I have done a couple different DWC methods of growing, whether it be one big reservoir with, you know, 6 or 7 plants in it to, like I said, the 5-gallon bucket. And that is one of the things that was really tricky was trying to change out that reservoir. And we were doing it without a pump, without like a water pump. So we were having to lift the plant up. So it's like a 2-3 person process to do this, depending on how many plants you're dealing with. And if you're running a scrog as well above that, that just makes it even harder to manage that plant, to even lift it up. You know, the net pot's, you know, this tall, as well as the root ball, right? You got to clear all that under your reservoir, and it is just a big old pain in the butt. So no, I commend you for that. So proprietary with your product, what, I guess, separates it from just a classic 5-gallon bucket? Why did you develop it the way that you did?
Right. I watched that episode of what you're talking about. You guys are lifting and doing all those things. And yeah, I mean, just dealing with deep water culture with the DIY stuff that exists, it's enough to turn anybody off deep water culture right
now.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. You know, I looked at the product and when I was developing the product, and it was really about access, right? I wanted access. I wanted to be able to see the roots, the root zone. I wanted to have as much fluid as possible in there, but also just have room for accessories to put the air stone in so it doesn't get tangled in at the roots, to be able to put a pump and whatnot and not get tangled into the roots. So that was really... It almost seems like a simple, really simple concept when I describe it like that.
I love that like you're saying, it's like such an easy, like, until you thought of it, probably a lot of people are like, man, I wish I could just like cut a hole or something. And then you're like, I'm just going to build this thing, and you do it and just solve so many problems with one fix. Like, this, boom, that's genius, man. So did you get your first one fab? Did you like make it, or did you go like 3D print it somewhere?
Yeah, we did. The first step was I just cut the side off of my prototype. I cut the side off of a slot out of a 5-gallon pail, and then I just used almost like a paper mache. You know, I used a cardboard, and I used duct tape just to get the form and just to get the dimensions right and all that. And once I nailed down the shape, then we had it 3D printed, which was you know, a very expensive route to do it, but really the only option, right, for something that big. And we worked with the 3D printing, which was the second step of our product design. And then at that point, you know, we had to submit to carve a mold and then create the mold. So,
And so you're based in Canada, right? And yes. I know that you do a pretty good amount of sales up there. And I noticed that you're just, I don't know if it's just now or I'm just seeing your Instagram posts about it, but you're starting to get into some stores down here in the States. Is there online sales that can happen and transfer into the U.S., or is it strictly brick and mortar stores that we could get your product down here?
It's both. We sell, most of our sales are actually in the U.S. That's probably about 90% of our sales. And a lot of it is from our website. The shipping is the thing is that we're trying to conquer right now. And we are set up here in the next couple months to have distribution centers throughout the U.S. So we'll really be able to have a better reach and reduce shipping costs and just make it accessible. Because every time you have to ship something of that size anywhere, right? That's a limiting factor for us. So we feel we have a good plan there. We do have, I believe, now 4 brick and mortar stores in the U.S. Nice. And we're super psyched about that because it's we feel it's like a bit of a teapot design. You know, people were making tea in pots before, and then someone changed the shape and they go, wow, why didn't I think of that? So we feel like we can just move those 5-gallon buckets out of the way and we can get the hydro bucket in there in every single retail store.
Absolutely. Like when I saw the hydro bucket for the first time, and again, this is like, that's why it's so surreal having you on the show, because like I've seen this product for a long time and I'm like, wow, that is the future. Like whoever did that, bless, because that is such a good job. Like it takes all of the mess. Like you, I mean, you said you heard our episode, but literally that was the worst part of doing the deep water culture, was like lifting these plants and doing that. And you know, it makes DWC for a new grower very accessible,
right? Yeah, that's it. And that's what I feel deep water culture is this fantastic growing method, but it's so limited on two fronts. One was, you could convince someone, hey, I got this awesome growing method, let's go. It's nice and cheap. They say, okay. And then you get a 5-gallon bucket and you say, okay, where's the saw? Where's the drill? So all of a sudden you're adding a DIY component on top of it. So there wasn't a retail version to just get into it instead of, in lieu of, you know, getting into a recirculating system. And all of a sudden you have pumps, pressure, probably a chiller, and a price tag. Which all of a sudden for new growers that just wanted to get into deep water culture and maybe try it with a single thing. And now you're at a lot more money and a lot more things. So
yeah, absolutely.
And with your product, it kind of moves away from the need for some substrate like Hydroton, right? It just looks like a rock wool plug is all you really need. And it sits in your, I guess the top, it's a substitute for a net pod. It allows the roots to grow through it. It just has a couple supports for that rock wool plug. What size is generally, is that just like a clone plug size that fits right in there?
It's a little bit larger, yeah. So it's more going to be the shape of a spear, kind of a spear tip, which is easy enough to carve out just with, you know, the grow down and the rock wool manufacturers. There's just so many slabs and shapes, and it's such a great product to work with. You can cut it into any shape you want, right? So until we can in the future potentially have the perfect shape that would just go insert in there, and I mean, that's what we're shooting for right now. Until then, yeah, you're just going to cut a piece of rock wool and put it in there and avoid Hydroton and any large amount of medium used.
Yeah, you're really just narrowing down. Yeah. You're taking all the, I guess, drawbacks or headaches or extra stuff you have to do with, you know, DWC or setting up a individual bucket system like this, and just kind of making it a real easy transition. And because with Hydroton, you know, you have to wash it and make sure it's, you know, relatively clean before you start using it. And Rockwool is, you know, if you're buying from a reputable source like Grodan, you know, chances are it's going to be nice and clean by the time you get it. Plus you got to, you know, soak it anyway. So, I feel like the product that you have created, right? I feel like there's plenty of DWC people out there who've had this idea and they're like, why doesn't this exist? Right. But now you've created it and you've made the market for it. And it seems like your business has really, really taken off. I mean, you're starting to get places up here in the States, that are, and it's interesting to hear that 90% of your sales are down here, because we're not even, you know, federally legalized here. There's a lot of states, yes, that can grow, but like being up there in Canada, I'm surprised to hear that most of your business is down here.
Yeah, you know, it's a population thing, right? There's just so much population difference between the US and Canada. So that's really what we see. You know, we have 20 retailers, brick and mortar retailers in Canada, but still that most of our sales go down to the US.
Yeah. Nice. And it's cool because your product isn't so niche that it's only cannabis, right? Like you see this all over your Instagram specifically. You know, you're growing peppers, basil, you can grow like vegetables, and we love that, right? Like Josh and I are veggie growers ourselves, and to have a product like this for especially like the stuff you can grow indoors right next to your cannabis, like peppers and tomatoes and stuff like that. I don't know, this is a very viable product, and I could see it making its way into places like, you know, Home Depot or Walmart even. Like, it doesn't have to be a hydroponic store. So that's also another beauty about your product, right? Is like you have these avenues where you can kind of almost take this anywhere. It's not so niche that it's cannabis only. So that's, I feel like your stuff is going to... It's got the juice.
that's great. I love hearing it. I mean, I love the feedback because, yeah, it's been a journey, and it's really been, you know, it's just myself, my partner Dennis, and I that, you know, we're just a couple guys at home making a company and bringing this to market. And having that feedback from growers that go, you know, wow, this solves the problems, this is cool. I mean, that's what's got us this far. So
yeah, and no, that's like, I've been thinking, I'm a soil guy, you know, tried and true, right? But like I said, my beginnings were in DWC, and we do hydroponics in Rockwool at our facility that we work at, and that's got me kind of thinking back to the roots, the DWC days, and that's kind of why we've been, you know, looking at your product quite a bit. We've interacted a little bit on Instagram with you, and I just really, really love your product. And that's kind of the route I'm going is looking at your product, and because I want to jump back into DWC. I want to have a little bit of side by side action going on. And aside from just getting some 5-gallon buckets, I've been really looking at your product. So you're making moves, and you're really getting people thinking about, you know, your product is a very, very viable product and can solve a lot of problems and headaches for people. So, dude, again, just very, very great overall. So let's jump into some questions, right?
Growing stuff.
Exactly. So yeah. With the hydro bucket, is there a specific plant or... Yeah, specific plant that you find grows like absolutely beautiful, perfect in your hydro bucket? Is there one that just like trumps everything that you've grown in it, or is it all great?
I, for me, it's everything. I find deep water culture is just a rocket ship of a growing method, right? The reason I say that is it's just because I chalk it up to accessibility. If we have roots submerged in a nutrient solution, and it always has accessibility to those nutrients in that fluid, there's never a feeding cycle. There's never a wet dry. There's never a pause. The plant always has what it needs at all times. So I feel that gives that plant the potential to outgrow anything, because no other growing methods run like that.
Sure. Yeah. What with your cannabis plants, like what are you, as a grower, like what kind of plants do you like to grow for you personally? Cause I'm sure that all the stuff you do, you know, like obviously you want to you know, like the flavors and kind of the effects? What do you go for?
Well, that, you know, that's a good question. I'm that goes into, you know, the CBG, CBD, THC conversation. For me, you know, I personally, if we're just looking about size, sativas, I have to be careful with sativas because I'm a tent grower, right? And so there's just limitations on, on these big stretching plants and tents with lights and clearance and all that stuff. So I kind of shy away from anything that's too big and too stretchy. But aside from that, CBD, CBG, and THC is what I'm after. And that is just a new thing that's happened over the last couple years. Just for, it's, I call it just a comprehensive cannabis program, right? I have ADHD, and this is something that's, once my daughter was diagnosed when school was shut down through the pandemic, and I had to teach my, you know, three kids at home, school, and you know, she was falling behind, and then she got diagnosed with ADHD. And then just like many people, they, the children get diagnosed, and then the parent says, holy shit, I have it too. And they get diagnosed. And then you have all these pieces of the puzzle that come in to say, okay, that's why I've been feeling bad, but using cannabis my whole life is because it really checked a bunch of boxes for me and allowed me to function really well. So when I started using CBG and I got that into my garden, that allowed me to totally change my day and my productivity of the day. Instead of getting up and using THC only all day, even though that worked really well for me, there's still, it checks a couple boxes that I don't necessarily want it to check if I'm trying to focus or trying to do certain things. It worked better than not using cannabis 100%.
But there is a drawback to productivity for sure.
Exactly. There's some. There's some. And I was always keen on multi-straining because that helped me kind of mix up the day and mix up the effects. But once I got some CBG, I swear that is just straight up medicine for me. Wow. And that allows me to start the day with CBG and CBD, and then I work my way into THC, and then I go from there. So when it, going back to the question of what I like to grow, I mean, just a lot of multiple strains, different strains and different cannabinoids to help me use cannabis fully to function highly.
Yeah, and awesome. And going back, but to pre-show, you mentioned, you know, Seattle Chronic Seeds, who we had on the show, big friend of the show.
Yes.
And, you know, I know he does a lot of work with those, I guess, lesser,
more medicinal
cannabinoids, right? Like the THCV, I know he's working with pretty recently. So I could see why you guys connected pretty, you know, you had this just very like immediate connection because he goes for very, very medicinal things too with, and I think he shares that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you might not even know, but I think he has some ADHD or ADD. I think we all do, honestly, to a degree, right? Like there's a spectrum of it all, especially us who grow. We really kind of put that into growing, right? That's kind of where this rabbit hole of growing really, you know, this is how we get here.
I mean, it eats a lot of my free time up for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the ADHD thing, you know, statistically now that it's really only been diagnosed for, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 years now, even at that. And a lot of people, doctors still don't believe in the clinical diagnosis. So it is something that's not exactly accepted by everyone and everywhere, but statistics show, I mean, here's the statistic that really hit home for me is about 90% of homeless people have ADHD. They're on the spectrum and they probably have two or three other, you know, neurotypical issues with their brains. So that really lands them in this mental health struggle. And yeah, most people who use this, like for me, all those pieces of the puzzle came together for me to understand myself and have a really natural approach to dealing with things. And it really comes down to addiction, right? So most people who are addicts, and that could be porn, food, you know, alcohol, drugs, doesn't matter what you do, they have ADHD. They're on the spectrum. So whether ADHD causes addiction or addiction has, you know, ADHD, is part of the ADHD, it's all one big ball. Mm-hmm. So that leads to, I think, I would love to see a study of how many cannabis users actually have ADHD. Because for me, it just works so well.
Yeah. Right. Wow. That's super interesting. I didn't know it like that. Yeah. Blowing my mind with the addiction ADHD thing. I'm like, that's something to think about.
Get addicted to gardening, man, for sure.
Well, exactly. You know, if you know, for something like me, I have to do stuff. That's it. I have to. Mm-hmm. I have to do something each day, and that's just the way my body works. And I'm not sad about using something that's really beneficial and healthy for me. That seems like a huge win and a huge thing. And you know, cannabis has been in our garden since the beginning of time. It's one of the most useful plants throughout history, and I'm sure in part it's managed people who just needed something to do to balance themselves, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is crazy to, you know, you said it just, that just like kind of touched on something with me. Like, there used to be, this was medicine, right? Like, this was deemed medicine once upon, not that long ago either. Like, it was in tinctures, they made tinctures. It wasn't, I don't know if it was too much smokable, if there was a lot of that action going on, but I do know that there's evidence of tinctures and medicinal concoctions, I guess, for lack of a better word. You know, maybe like, I think like 40-50, no, like
early,
maybe
early 1900s,
early 1900s.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's just strange that we just completely went away from that. But now we're like resurging that back. It's,
I'm
just
glad
very
it's
strange.
Back.
Sure. It's just a very interesting thing that I think about from time to time. And I'm like, this used to be deemed as medicine. And now we're sitting and talking about it as medicine, you know, to each other. But then the, like, government or whoever just doesn't feel that way. Maybe it's a little different up there in Canada, being federally legalized now and a bit more accepted. No?
No, I mean, it's still, I feel this is a good perspective on it, is it's treated like it's recreational by the broad population of the world. This is where a lot of the resistance that Karen has to cannabis is that it's recreational. How can you be saying that this recreational thing is medicinal? And they go on that tangent, and I understand that perspective if that's how they see it. But the reality is that cannabis has always been medicinal, and then we changed it to illegal, and we changed it to recreational. And so now that we've made that flip, so it was medicinal for 10,000 years, then it was recreational for 100. And now people are saying, oh, hang on a sec. I just don't buy this. It's not legitimate. You're using something recreational for medicine. They go, no. It's been wrong.
Yeah.
It's been wrong.
Yeah, you have it backwards. Absolutely.
In the span of history, the medicinal outweighs the recreational.
Absolutely. You know, in the past, if you didn't have plant medicine, you didn't have medicine.
Right.
That's just plain and simple. And you had a medicine man. Mm-hmm. Who managed the medicine, and that was just a handful of plants, and they did their best. You know, when my grandparents' parents immigrated from the Ukraine, they came over to Canada, and they set up and they started a homesteading. And on the side of their house was cannabis plants. They brought it with them from where they immigrated from. And one day the police showed up and they said, hey, you can't have that along your house. And they were shocked. They said, why? This is a plant. We use it for oil. We use it for medicine. We use it for spirituality, you know, just like the poppies in the garden, just like the other things. Because if you didn't have medicine, if you didn't have plant medicine, you didn't have medicine. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, it's illegal. And they cut it down. And that was the end. And you have to wonder at that point, you look at, you know, the alcohol consumption and, the things that everybody had to switch to rely on when there was nothing else.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, like for down here, like that's how, you know, prescription drugs became such a force, right? Like you had to replace it with these pills.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
You mentioned that, you know, they're homesteaders. So have you been growing your own food like your whole life, or did you just get into gardening altogether the last 7 years?
No, I've been, this love of plants has been instilled for me my whole life. Growing up on the farm, we've always had a garden. Everything that was grown in the garden was then preserved. And so we were very much relied on the garden for food growing up.
No, that's like a blessing. You were like gifted by your parents of this gift, man. Like to be able to already have or be brought up with this knowledge of how to be self-sufficient in a way, you know, to a degree. Invaluable in my opinion, man. Like I'm just now starting to, and I dabbled in gardening when I was younger, but definitely now I'm full force, man, especially with just, I don't know.
How much better it is for
the
you.
The flavor, the vitamin, like just everything, if you grow it yourself, is much more nutritious and flavorful. You know, so it like, but
that's awesome.
That's good to hear that like you were brought up that way. And so now you, I'm sure have your own garden. How much of your, I guess, land is dedicated to gardening?
Well, I don't garden anymore. That was something, you know, I only grow cannabis and peppers and a few things. Just with the configuration of our land and whatnot, I live on an acreage and there's just only so much room to grow and only so much time with a young family.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
And
a
business.
But I do have
and a thriving business.
Exactly. So, you know, but I do have plans. I have a nice spot that I'm going to set up some raised beds. And do have a the minimum amount of summer gardening that I'd like to have.
Right, and you also always will have the constant R&D making better of the hydro bucket or hydro bucket V2, you know, that you have to test out with your peppers and your cannabis. So like that's a never ending garden there in its own self. Now talking about I guess plants grown in the hydro bucket, is there like a plant that you found that was difficult to ever grow in, you know, either hydroponically or in the hydro bucket?
I didn't really get carrots and potatoes. I didn't play with, you know, tubers and stuff like that. I imagine that would have some challenges to it. But, I found everything worked really well. I didn't find really something that I said, this just really isn't for this growing style.
You mentioned carrot and potatoes. Now I kind of really want to try that out. You know what I mean? Get a little experimental. I know that like sweet potatoes you can grow hydroponically pretty easily. In fact, they like that better. They don't grow the same as potatoes, but I'm just trying to think of like a potato in the top of that hydro bucket. Just
I'm thinking like perennials in a in a thing, like something that just lives there. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I found most, like, compared to cannabis is such a large consumer. It consumes nutrients. It's really aggressive. Right. So when you look at tomatoes and cucumbers and all these similar large plants, they don't use as much nutrient solution. They're a lot easier to grow. It's not such a dynamic environment where it's just crushing it and it needs to change kind of by the week or every third week you're changing the configuration. They're everything else is really simple compared to cannabis.
Heck yeah.
And you mentioned you grow peppers. Is there a particular pepper that you like the most?
There's so many peppers in the world. That's why I love indoor growing, because it gives you access. Exactly. There's just all these things that, like, wow, I could grow, just any variety that you can imagine around the world. And you just dial in your environment, and boom, you get to grow it. So I do like spicy stuff that I can put into jellies and stuff and make it actually edible, and just lots of paprikas and stuff. And I just love being able to grind up, take a handful of whatever it may be, crush it up in a mortar and pestle, and boom, you change your meal right there.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I wish my peppers were doing better than they were, but I think I need to grow them inside. I tried to do outside, but Washington just isn't warm enough.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
We're one way or the other. We just had this weekend that we were up in the 90s just for like 3 or 4 days, and now we're like back to a windy, cloudy day. It's like, okay, we're so temperamental with our Washington weather here.
Yeah.
Do you think that you said like 90% or so of your customer base being down in here in the U.S. as well. Do you think the majority of that is cannabis growers using those, or do you think you have a customer base that grows veggies as well inside these?
I think it's mostly cannabis, mm-hmm. right? I think it is. It's the most expensive crop right now. It's the most desired crop. It's medicinal as well. I mean, there's just so many things that make cannabis appealing to grow. It's like I tell people, try CBD, introduce CBD into your life, and then realize that you can't afford to do that, especially if you're using it medicinally or therapeutically, where you're using 100 or 200. Milliliters per dose. You have to grow your own if you want to do use cannabinoids in that fashion. So yeah, I really feel like the bulk of it is probably cannabis, but we do have peppers is the second one. Peppers, people love growing peppers because they're so beautiful, they're so unique, and yeah, you get to eat these crazy things. So
heck yeah.
Do you have you ever gotten, I guess, like a large order, say have you worked with any farms or anything to like bring their full system online to something like the Hydro Bucket?
We have we're working on that. We've had a licensed producer out in Eastern Canada get into about 150 buckets, Hydro Buckets. Nice. And so we're still waiting to kind of see how to get some content from him, see how he set them up. We do have quite a few licensed producers and micros that use them for mother plants, just because, especially with the self-supporting hydro lid, you can grow a mother plant just very fast, and you can really control whether it's almost dead or in full production, right? So we found that is a very appealing use for hydro buckets for producers.
Were they already growing in some sort of hydroponic setup when this company that you've given a
I'm not sure if they were. I mean, a lot of people, that's the same story. They look at it, they say they either don't like the lifting and the DIY, or they don't like the price of the large recirculating systems. So the Hydro Bucket is just perfectly in there for them. Yeah.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
We did have a nice large order that to Australia in the past couple months. Yeah, we have an Australian distributor now, so we sent them a few pallets of Hydro Buckets and Hydro Lids. So
that's awesome.
That was one of our most significant orders yet. Yeah. So that's really cool.
Yeah, good job.
Australia. Is it? I thought it was still illegal to grow cannabis in Australia. Am I wrong with that?
I'm not sure. I mean, this is the beauty, is it's just growing supplies, right?
Sure.
And right? And so yeah. We got to get them in the stores because
they're growing something.
Their tomatoes.
Yeah. They're yeah. growing something.
Yeah. Yeah, in places like, dry places, I imagine, like that, like Australia, right? To do DWC is almost, more beneficial because it's not so taxing on the water, right?
Yeah, you don't waste any, I guess. Yeah, all that's getting used.
Right. I mean, the deep water culture, for one, it allows you to grow your crop in your vegetative growth anyway, 30% faster. So there's a nice benefit there in having that really quick, aggressive growth throughout your veg process. And then throughout your flower process, flowers flower, you have to develop. But it really, indoor growing, while it does take resources, of course, it allows us to have control over everything. And that control allows us to use as little as possible if we can get into efficiencies and stuff.
Heck yeah.
And how long has Hydro Bucket been up and operating?
We've been up and operating for, only about a year. Yeah.
Wow.
It took us a while. We've been working on this for a couple of years. By the time we had our molds made and had them shipped over, that was through the pandemic. There was challenges getting that happening. And then, we're a fairly new company and we're really just starting to get our reach out right now.
Yeah. It seems like it, man.
Good origin story, like just to come up through the pandemic and then just start killing it as soon as it's done. Wow.
Yeah, I feel like I've been seeing more and more of the HydroBucket visionary hydroponic stuff on my page, as well as other people promoting it and using it down here in the States. So, no, dude, big progress for, I would have expected you to be up for like four or five, two or three years. Least, I don't know. Like, it's crazy to hear that you've only been up and operating for such a little time and through probably just a worldwide crisis, I guess, where, you know, materials and everything is just such a high cost right now. It's incredible, man. How do you navigate that, I guess, like with everything being so expensive and coming up as like a new, how do you manage the I guess the cost of starting a business like that?
Yeah, it's been challenging, right? It's been challenging. We've been doing our best. My partner Dennis really would be the one to answer this. You know, it's amazing to have a partner that we can fill each other's roles really well. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not both doing the same thing. He does the day-to-day operations. He does the checks and balances and the finances, and which is great because I hate doing that stuff. I love That's being awesome. In the garden. I love talking to people about growing. I love growing and experimenting and product design and all that stuff. So really it's the perfect match.
Yeah.
My partner Dennis and I, which allows us to, you know, do what we do.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's very similar to
partner. That's the, yeah.
To our boss, man. Like we have two bosses and both of them are, you know, one manages a lot of the money and a lot of the sales and stuff. And then the other manages more of the operations and kind of like the well-being of the employees and the success of the company. So sounds like you guys have a very similar dynamic. So no, that's yeah, proven awesome. To me that it's, you know, very beneficial to have, you know, opposite sides of the spectrum. So that way you're working on separate projects, right? And so you, I assume, do a lot of the like outreach and going to what are these called, conventions and stuff like that. And you've journeyed here to the States. What do you have a favorite convention that you've gone to?
We've only done a few. Up to this point, the Autoflower Cup, you know, down south of Tacoma in Washington last year was awesome. I mean, it was just so good. It wasn't a big, massive convention and very,
crowd.
It was more about growth. Yeah, it wasn't a huge crowd, exactly. So it was very chill. It was nice to connect with people, make real connections, and it was almost like a holiday, which I love.
That's awesome.
As opposed to the big conferences, those are dominated by big money, big business, big corporations. Mm. We felt like such a, you know, mosquito there compared to the smaller show. So.
Right, because those guys are there for like the business aspect of it, not necessarily. They're not in the garden doing this stuff, trying to figure out, hey, is this good for my plant? They're not thinking about that type of stuff. They're like, who can I invest in? You know,
Exactly.
And I could see that, like, that just not the vibe that I guess, like, in being like a cannabis company, right? You go for that very holistic vibe where you get to meet people and talk, you know, to like-minded people, whereas like the business people are. You know, they're a little bit different.
The huge booths at those events always give me anxiety. Like, I hate even walking past them. They got like 1,000,007 people, and there's like, you know, they always hire these like girls to hand out stickers or whatever, and there's loud music and like, come do this thing. And I'm like, oh God, please. Like, I just want to go over there and watch that guy press some rosin.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the difference. Is at those things, a lot of these people, they don't use cannabis. They don't. Well, they wouldn't be able to sit down and talk about growing, or they just know the business part of it, and that's fine. But for me, I just love connecting with growers, and I love using cannabis, and I mean all the things that follow. So
yeah, and it's super stimulating to talk to somebody who's passionate about the same kind of things, right? Like it feels good.
Yeah, definitely. Just
get little nuggets from them. Is it? I know we asked like what you like to grow, I guess, as far as cannabis. Is there a specific strain that speaks out to you that you've, you know, tried and true, proven with this trying to grow for CBG and some of those, you know, minor cannabinoids? Is there a strain that you've been consistently growing?
Yes, it's called Helios, which was from Seattle Chronic, and that was it was CBG with it's the strain that you guys picked as one of your top two strains. That's escaping me now. Melvin's cross with the CBG called Helios, and that, like I said, amazing. it allowed me to get off of stimulants. Wow. And just not use stimulants whatsoever, and just simply treat myself with cannabis. And yeah, so
did you get those before you ever met Rob, or did you get those while you were maybe down here visiting?
While I met him, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I got those while I met him, and it was just a fluke as well. I had no idea what CBG was. I didn't know what it would do. It was just, I was just totally clueless to all of it, and it was just life changing.
So this is a very new development, I guess, it sounds like.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's only really been a year, and it took a while to grow it out. And then, I grew it out and I started using it, I was just, boom, I can't believe how well this works. And then that led to, just having CBD in the garden always as well. So
what's those kind of flavor profile on that? I wonder, is it similar to the Melvins in that kind of berry, gassy?
It's not. It's more. What would I do? You know, it has hints of. It's almost kind of citrusy, but not citrusy.
Okay.
If I was to really take it for a stretch, I would say it would be a non-citrus citrus with hints of gunpowder, burnt gunpowder. Ooh, I mean, it's really
yeah.
It's a really cool profile. I like using it as flower, but just because I like to use flower in so many other ways, you know, especially with THC and stuff, I use a lot of it as oil. And just being able to use it medicinally like that.
As far as when you say oil, are we talking like dab oil, or are we talking like tincture oil?
Tincture oil. Okay. Yeah.
That's just what I figured.
Yeah.
And so up there in Canada, I'm not too familiar on, you know, like personal grows and stuff like that. Do you guys have access to like testing facilities as far as being able to send in your stuff and get accurate test results back?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, there's plenty of testing facilities that we could get our stuff tested.
Good. Is there what I'm curious is the numbers on that Helios as far as the count of these cannabinoids. Do you have those? Do you know those off?
No, I don't. I would love to, but you know, it's a good expense, right? It's a fairly high expense to be getting your strains tested. And as much as I would love to, and maybe someday, you know, I'd definitely like to be able to get it tested. But yeah, it wasn't something I've been able to do.
You know who will have the numbers? Rob will have the numbers.
Right.
yeah. There you go.
we'll bug Rob.
But I guess it sounds like you don't even need it though, because the proof's in the pudding, right? Like you've been using this medicinally and it works, right? So I guess it doesn't really matter. I'm just curious as to like what amount of that CBG is like, is the fine tune for you. You know, I'd just be curious to grow that myself now that I'm thinking about it. Cause
definitely want to grow that.
Cause you know, I love messing around. THCV for me works extremely well. Durban Poison is one of my favorite strains. It's just, nice. I get really hungry and munchy when I smoke my cannabis, and if it's something like Durban Poison, it doesn't faze me. I just get to enjoy my high or you know, my day without constantly eating. So and I know he's working on a couple projects there, but with THCV, is there any, I guess you're working on a lot of different things, so I'm sure you just grow cannabis just for you personally, right? I was just about to
That's right.
Sorry, go ahead.
I grow it for myself, and you know, that spills out to just my circle of friends and family. And you know, I just grow it for my medicinal use, but also for content, right? I'm always growing for content,
right?
So I really have an abundance of it, which allows me to share, which allows me to have people. I've had two different people. One person had migraines, and they just had never used CBD in a at a high dose. You know, I said, well, have you tried CBD for your migraines? And they said, yes. How much? I don't know. I put some under my tongue. I go, okay, well, let's try 150 milliliters or sorry, milligrams, of CBD and see if it works. And boom, I mean, it had a great effect. And after trying everything under the sun for migraines, this person can now use CBD. Another person that had spasms in their body, you know, a good friend, he was fighting these spasms, these back spasms, and for 10 years, multiple, you know, scans and everything with just no luck. And I said, same thing. Have you tried CBD? Yes, but blah, blah, blah. Well, have you tried a large amount of therapeutic dose on a regular basis? They said, no. Boom. Tried it first night. Works. So it allows me, I love being in a state of excessive cannabis,
right,
that I can share with people and change their lives, help them.
That's right. Awesome. You help a lot of people. Plus, I feel like with those buckets, you definitely could have an excess of cannabis. Like, it just seems like it's probably easy to crap out something like a decent yield.
Yeah. We get good yields, good Ooh. Yields.
That's a good question. Yeah. What is the highest weight you've pulled off of a cannabis plant grown in this system? I know you're not growing for weight, probably. You're probably not growing for weight. You're growing for medicine, like we've talked. But it's just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it goes to technique. The way I say it, if you're going to put the money into gear and you're going to put the money into that power, because we have to create this environment and that costs money. So if we're going to do that, let's be as efficient as we can and grow the best that we can. And the metric, of course, is our yield. And I think our best has maybe been 1.6 up to 1.8 grams per watt. So, you know, we're typically just, you know, 4 to 8 ounces dried and cured per plant kind of thing.
That's
you know, not as high as a facility, but, you know, really, really quite.
But like for medicinal yields like that, that's awesome.
Yeah. And plus, you don't need to worry about growing, you know, for a light or, you know, however metric they're judging by now. Are you too familiar with like the recreational market up there in Canada? Because I know that you guys have been sitting on a lot, like an abundance of weed. And can you speak maybe to like the quality of the cannabis up there as far as like the recreational market goes? Being a grower yourself, I'm sure you're growing because you want the quality.
Yeah, absolutely. The situation as it is in the rec market in Canada is an abundance of flower, right? Just an absolute abundance. And the quality, really, you know, you can get $80 ounce, $50 ounces now in Canada. And it's nothing I would really smoke, but it's decent. You know, you might have to smoke the whole ounce. And then, you know, the quality is really, it all depends on how corporately structured and profit driven the growers are. I mean, some of the craft growers are absolutely amazing, right? I mean, it's just really, really excellent, high quality flower and cannabis products. So it is out there and it is actually, you know, fairly quite affordable these days.
Yeah, that was going to be part two of my question, is if there were craft cannabis out there producing quality stuff, because, you know, just funneled through, we have a couple people in our Discord who are from Canada, and sometimes they just talk real down on dispensary weed up there in Canada, but maybe, you know, they're in a completely different zone than you, and maybe their access to the you know, smaller batch craft cannabis is lesser. But that's good to hear that there is small batch, because that gives me a little more hope, I guess, for, you know, when the U.S. does gear up to go do something like that, that there is still a market for this craft cannabis and
quality
for people,
product,
yeah, growing true medicine for people who need it, right? And if you can't, you know, you have the right to grow it yourself, which and is, you know, hands bucket. Down. Yeah. And get yourself a hydro bucket and grow some, you know, 2 pounds, 3 pounds of light if you're situating or trying hard enough, I guess.
Yeah.
But.
And that's it. I feel the cannabis is a great product for, you know, if I, everybody likes to compare it to alcohol. And for the one comparative, it's going to be hard to create some really, really good beer or some really good spirits or whatever, really good wine. There's homemade stuff that you may be able to take home and create, but it's not going to be as good for a lot of reasons. But cannabis is just a plant. Those genetics are there. Everything you have is there for you to put it in the proper conditions. And if you give it the right conditions, you're going to express everything that those genetics can potentially express. So there's no reason people can't grow just as good, if not better, cannabis at home than what you can get in the dispensary. So it's very easy to become snobbery. The snobbery with home growers is fantastic, because we really can grow amazing plants at home with no reason why it has to be any better or worse than what's at the dispensary.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And at that point, you're not growing for money. You're growing for yourself. So of course, there's going to be plenty more care that goes into that for you personally, right? Like, you think about the love that goes into a plant. It's this kind of ambiguous thing.
And the freshness, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's the closest thing to picking weed off the vine that you could get. It's like growing your own, hanging it, letting it cure,
yeah,
and getting that first smoke. Like, it's just going to be significantly better than the stuff that's been in the store for, I don't know, maybe a month or two, and before that it was at the facility for a month, and then it was hanging for, you know, 4 weeks. And yeah,
well, that, you know, that's it. Cannabis should be, you know, when you used to go to your dealer and you opened up a bag, that's how it would maintain its freshness, is by being in a large bag and holding some humidity and, you know, eventually emptying out. When you buy from the store and it's all grammed out into a couple grams here or 7 grams there, mm-hmm, and then it sits around in storage, you can rehydrate it and you can do all these things. But I've never been able to really enjoy dispensary cannabis like I do at home and with other people that I know that grow.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's the same for anybody who grows, you know, like you were saying, like, it's just, it's so attainable to grow something that's that quality when you're at home.
I know you're a pretty strict hydroponic deep water culture guy, but have you experimented at all with, you know, growing cannabis in soil yourself just to throw a different flavor out there?
I did, and I didn't have that much success, but it was more of a, you know, kind of similar. If you have a soil grow and everything's soil and that's what you do, and then you just slide in one hydro plant, it's just out of your groove, right? So you don't really pay as much attention to it, or it's just really not your thing.
Right.
And yeah, I grew one plant in soil, and it was just the most novice, horrible plant. I was embarrassed even to grow that thing. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm going to stick to hydro.
Yeah, and hydro is so, I don't know.
Well, you get that explosive growth. Right. I can only imagine. Like, being used to seeing that level of growth, like, time in, time out, and then you stick something in the dirt, and you're like, well.
You know, and how responsive it was, you know, thinking back now to that plant, I got into a point where I was like, okay, am I overwatering or am I underwatering? It doesn't look like something, it wants something that I'm not doing to it. And that delay that happens, right, that it's not instant like hydro. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, hydro is just, it's almost bulletproof, because if you have a problem, just put pH water only, leave it for a couple of days, and then resume.
Right.
And as long as you do that every once in a while, the plant has everything it needs. If everything's in balance, then there's no questions. Is it too much water? Not enough? Is the nutrients enough or not enough? Just change it out and start fresh, and it always works out because it has no choice.
Right. Flushing is so much easier. And if you have an issue, yeah, it's curable within right then, right? Like, whereas soil, you have to, you know, rinse it the heck out, and then, you know, then put your nutrients on top of that. And by that point, maybe your plant's already unhealthy, and now you oversaturated the media, and now you're in a double whammy. Whereas hydroponics, you're just like, I share that with you. I'm just like, yeah, it's, and you can measure pH much easier, right? Like, you could, like in something like a hydro bucket, you can lift that, I guess, that out. What do you call that?
I call it the side reservoir.
There we
exactly.
Go.
It's the side reservoir. You could just open it up and you have access to your nutrient solution, and then you can test it with your pH, then boom, right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And whereas soil there, it takes a little bit of a different meter, as well as I don't feel that it's as accurate because there's several different areas in the media now at this point that you'll probably get different pH readings throughout just because of water flow and all that. Whereas hydroponics, yep, the water flows 100%, right?
It is what it is, exactly. it is what it is, and the factors that you're trying to control are easy to control.
Well, Mitchell, for all the people out there who want to try out your product by chance, is there a what website, I guess, do we go to? Is that the Canadian website? Do you have one for the U.S.? Where can people find your product?
It is in Canada. It's visionaryhydro.ca is what you can reach our website directly. And we do ship to the U.S. and Canada. We have fairly quick shipping. We do ship if you order four or more, you know, spend over $125, then we will do free shipping. So we try to do the best that we can for that, but we are getting to the point where we're going to have some shipping stations throughout U.S. and Canada. So in the next 6 months, we're really going to be able to do better on that. We're also for people to check us out on IG. We're Hydro Bucket and I Can Grow Burrow on IG. Also, Visionary Hydroponics on YouTube is where we are, and we're really going to start. I'm going to start a series of just doing the very basics for people. You got a hydro bucket. Now what? What else do you need? Okay, air pump. What do you do with the air stone? Now what? So we're going to start with basics and do just 3-minute videos to really get people to just be able to fall into deep water culture and hydro buckets and have good success.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I'm glad that you are, you know, putting forward the education on your product too, right? Like, you're trying to make sure that people aren't just buying your product and then, you know, trying, failing, and then just setting that aside and never using it again, and, you know, never spreading the word about your product. That's good that you're out there trying to get people to have success with this, so then they're like, oh man, dude, I tried out this hydro bucket, you got to try them out, you know, I got a pack of four or whatever, here's one, try it out. And then word spreads, right, and all that good stuff. So yeah, that's great that you're continuing beyond that. And, you know, you mentioned air pumps. I guess this could be one of the final questions I ask you, but is that something that you're looking towards, maybe far future, right? Like long-term goals, being able to do a more all-in-one thing rather than just the bucket. You maybe have an air pump, what would you call it, airlines and stuff like that. Is that something you guys are thinking about branching into, or is it just going to really be the focus of Hydro Bucket V2, V3, and so on?
I mean, just, you know, let me off the leash and give me some wings, and you know, I want to do it all. We're in a situation, especially hydroponics, where everything is adapted technology.
Yeah.
In the past 10 years, you went to the hardware store, then you went to the pet store, to the aquarium store, mm-hmm, and then you came home to grow, and maybe right, you got some stuff at the hydroponic store. So all this stuff is adaptive technology. We've brought it in and we figured out what works, and then we've improved those products, but we haven't changed the products to make them better. It's still just improving adaptive technology that we thought that worked. So yeah, absolutely, I have ideas. I mean, yes.
And then, well, you could, we do like excited a, to like see a, those unfold in the future.
Do like a yeah, like a side mount on the bucket that's where your air pump rests, so that way it's nice and it, I don't know, I'm just throwing shit out there, but no, I that all-in-one would be really, I think, key, because that way, you know, someone could just one-stop shop your place and then just have, you know, set up, done, ready, you know, aside from the light, of course. But no, dude, that's super dope. And I'm glad that you came on to spread the word about your hydro bucket, man. I'm definitely going to be a future customer of yours, yeah, and sure, buying some of those, because I do, like I said, want to get back into DWC. And I think your product is the one to, you know,
it's
start
the best
that back
thing
up.
Out there, yeah.
Yeah, truly. But Mitchell, thank you
appreciate
so much for
you,
being
it's
on,
been
man.
A big honor.
Hydro Bucket on Instagram, like he said, and I Can Grow Bro.
Yes, that's my personal. I spend most of my time just managing the Hydro Bucket page, but that is my personal IG.
Lovely.
Where I can be contacted directly. And and YouTube, that's where we're going to start putting in those.
Check out the
really basic videos. So
perfect.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. And for all you people out there listening, go get yourself a Hydro Bucket.
Yeah, go grow some DWC. Check it out. It's way easier now. You do not have to suffer like we did.
Absolutely. With that, love you guys.
Love you.